When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Today we have another guest, and we've had Kevin on for, God, how many times have we had you on? A few times.
Yeah.
Yes. Kevin, the Tech Ninja, welcome back for like the fifth time. But I wanted a guest for this week because a lot of things that, no offense, Hartley, just aren't things that you necessarily work on. So we needed another. No one wants to hear me driveling on about Final Cut Pro, you know, for the entirety of the episode. So we need somebody else here, somebody else who's an expert in this field. But Hartley, don't sell yourself short. You used to be a video editor, for those who don't know.
That's true.
And so you do know some of these things. And so, you know, we'll have to get your take. But what you told me before we even started rolling, and I told you I needed to save your whole thought on this whole thing after, you know, once we started rolling here. You finally seen Severance after what seems like years of me pressuring you into watching this.
I have. And this
and
is the
what
first
did you say?
Apple TV Plus show that I have watched. And
it's a great one.
It was good.
Nope, that's not what you told me. You said it was okay.
It was okay.
No, what? It's like one of the premier shows out there, and you thought it was only okay.
Look,
at least, I mean, you watched the whole thing, so I appreciate you doing that.
My criticism of it was entertaining, but I don't think that any TV show should just be a setup for season two. Because if that show ends at that point, would you judge that differently? That would be my question. And if there was no Severance season two, would you think the same as what you think of it?
Okay, so, but that's like the whole point of a television series that has multiple seasons in mind, is that it's got to keep
yes,
you...
Yes, but they can still
if
be...
It had...
there's plenty of shows that have a really satisfying first season that resolves itself fully in the space of one season. And then there's
yeah,
another
then I
season
often
that
find
takes it in a different direction.
Not... But then I find that maybe I don't want to like continue then, because I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to watch anymore because I got the closure I needed on things. It's all about closure.
Yeah, but then think of how many times with how many major shows have just gone down the pan because they just keep doing that over and over until it's a bad show.
Well, okay, but that's the thing. So that's the most important thing, is that they have to know when to call it quits. So hopefully they don't, you know, drag on too long. I think like three seasons of these, because there's only like six or eight episodes, right? There's not that many. So I think like three seasons of that is a good amount of time if they can figure out a way to wrap it. So kind of like a, you know, act one, act two, act three type deal. Kevin, you've seen Severance, right?
Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty good. It reminded me of, okay, I'm not going to say it's amazing and changed my life. I mean, as Hartley said, it's a cliffhanger. So I really can't tell how good it is until it completes. You know what I mean? So the first season, I watched it all the way through, which in itself is an amazing thing. I do not watch TV. It's hard for me just to sit down and like watch a TV show. It is very tough for me. It's one of those shows that you can't passively watch. Like, you really have to pay attention or you will sort of get lost as far as what's going on for that. So I do struggle with that a little bit. So I did have to rewind it a couple of times or whatever. But no, it was pretty good. I am interested to see how the next season goes, because a lot of these shows that are like pretty crazy, the second season, it's like, Like the payoff never paid off, you know? So
it's kind of like what Hartley said. I have to wait it through. Season. So that's,
yeah,
that's my
We have to see what the pay from yeah. We have to see what the payoff is for it, you know, because we're waiting a year now for this. Like, it needs to be a big payoff. An example of a show is like Westworld, where like every season was like a setup, and then once the stuff hit the fan, it wasn't as epic as I was hoping, and I lost steam, and I didn't even like watch the last season when they spoilers like when they left the park. I didn't ever see that season because I already lost steam by the time we got there.
Way to ruin it for me.
yeah, it's a 10-year-old show. Yeah, sorry.
If you haven't watched it in the 10 years, I think it's over. You're done with. But all right. So then, I guess the last question I want to ask Hartley is: will you watch season two, or was it not enough to want to make you?
I will watch season two. I don't know if my mind is open. I'm hooked enough that I will watch it. But I just don't know if it was quite as good as people said it was, singularly because of that, and viewing it as a self-contained story. I think there are plenty of series that are satisfying and self-contained, and I would even argue that Westworld is a pretty good example of a really good season one that answers all of its questions in the space of one season while setting up for a season two.
Yeah, I never finished it. I only watched one season. I liked it,
exactly.
And then I was like,
exactly.
But see, but that's what happens, though. Like, I had enough to where I was like, all right, like, I've seen enough. I feel fine about where this is going, and I don't need to watch anymore. But, like, with Severance, I'm like, I love every second of this, and I want to know more. And then you get, like, the big reveal, and then you're like, well, wait, hold on. No, I need to know what – and then it just ends, and that's good. Because – and then it leaves you, like thinking about it. A show that leaves you thinking about it is – it's top notch for me.
Hey guys, just want to let you know that this episode of the Mackermer Show is sponsored by SelectQuote. There are so many things in life that we just never get around to. Taking up that hobby, cleaning out the garage, you know, the little things that don't really make huge differences in our lives. Yet there's one thing that most of us probably have been neglecting that can have a huge impact on our family's future, and that's life insurance. And with SelectQuote, getting covered with the right policy for you is easier and more affordable than you may think. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. And if you've ever been worried about getting coverage with pre-existing health conditions, SelectQuote partners with carriers that provide policies for a variety of health conditions. So, if you have high blood pressure, not a problem. Diabetes, that's fine too. Even if you have heart disease, SelectQuote partners with carriers that can cover those conditions and others. So head over to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Mackermers. Go to SelectQuote.com/Mackermers today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/Mackermers.
All right, moving on to our main topic. Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro, Final Cut for iPad, Logic for iPad. Did anything else get updated? Final Cut Camera, a whole bunch of updates to Apple's slate of Pro apps. We'll talk about that first, and then we'll talk about an app that Apple just recently bought and what that means for where that, you know, app and what Apple plans to do with it in the future, where that's all going. But Kevin, have you had a chance? I know it just came out yesterday. But have you had a chance to mess around with any of the new features? It's obviously AI powered this year. So have you tried any, or what are your thoughts so far on everything that was announced?
Yeah. So I did the magnetic mask and I really wanted to test like how well it works, because for a video editor, especially someone who shoots, maybe not in my setup every day, but like, you go to an event and the lighting is imperfect, like being able to select an object and adjust the lighting or color just for that object is going to be huge. So I actually went through some of my sample footage that I shot recently in New York. Actually, we had some absolutely horrible lighting to see how well it works. And it works very well, like surprisingly well. And I remember like a long time ago, I'm dating myself, a long time ago, having to track footage. It was like 10 to 1 as far as like time it would take. Like a 30-second footage would take, 10 to 1, with what, 3 minutes or 5 minutes or something like that? It would take such a long amount of time. And now seeing it like do it in real time is absolutely mind blowing for me. So yeah, I'm actually excited about that. Like being able to just adjust one element of the video and everything else can stay the same. That opens up a lot of flexibility. And also that's one of the main driving points of using a camera that can shoot raw, right? You have all that data, but now you really, I'm not going to say you don't need that type of camera, but now you can get away with using a more compact camera, a more budget camera that may not have that dynamic range because you can actually do it pretty much in real time now. So I've only used it for that example, and that was done better than I thought it would be.
That's a huge example for us because that's kind of what I was thinking was that how many times have you gone to an event, like you said, you've had footage, you come home and you shot a phone and the phone was overexposed and you're like, great, you can't see anything that I just recorded on that screen. So how am I going to save this? I can't go back. Like that's, it's over with. So the footage is lost. Or you can try to manually do this, but it would take so long for you to crop it out with the mask. And then if you know how to rotoscope and do all of that, maybe people just haven't had the skill or the time. They're not very good at it. What this does is you can basically just drag and drop one click and it will select the image. And you can easily, if it's selecting too much, click on the area that you don't want. It removes it or it adds it if it didn't get it quite enough. And I tested the same way. I did it on a MacBook screen that I purposefully had overexposed for something recently. And so I was able to color correct just that screen. Because, you know, the best way to do that is to bring down the brightness, bring down the contrast. Yeah. If you did that for the whole scene, it would look terrible. So this is an excellent thing for us. And then the other use case would be like a quick green screen type deal. If you don't have the ability to have a green screen and you need to remove the subject from the background, basically, you could do that really quickly. And you can even drag and drop effects and it auto tracks those onto the objects. I mean, it's mind blowing and it's probably behind some of the other, you know, editors out there that can already do this. But it's great that it's there. I'm not going to complain at all. Hartley,
does any of this sound fun to you? Oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead, Kevin, and then we'll get back.
No, I was going to say, and for it to be like a upgrade and not a new software add-on or something like that, because everyone was concerned about that because Final Cut for iPad is a subscription. So people did have concerns that the newest version of Final Cut on Mac will be a subscription-based app. Or the AI features will be behind a paywall, which a lot of apps actually do. So
I am worried about that. But it's been how many years that Apple's only made it a one-time purchase? They could have easily done a subscription.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
25 years.
How long has Final Cut 10 been a thing? Since I started at Mac Rumors, it was still called Final Cut Pro 10. Like, I mean, it's been 10 forever. So when I thought 11, I'm like, oh, great, here we go. We're going to get a new price. I even asked, I was like, is it another full, you know, $299 that I got to spend or $399? Because it's a new version, or is it just it's just an upgrade? So if you already have it, you can try these out. Hartley, have you ever had to do any of that type when you were editing back in the day? Try to, you know, use a green screen or apply a mask to anything?
Yeah, green screening definitely would have been useful. But I think that increasingly what Apple is trying to do with Final Cut and its editing tools, particularly on the iPad, but I think it's very telling about these particular features for Final Cut Pro 11, is they are very much creator-focused. They're not per se focused on the filmmaking industry, which really is where Final Cut was going back 10 years. But with some of these features, even like the transcription features, this is clearly intended for shorts. I would even say that...
Kind of. We'll talk about that in a second, but go ahead.
Right. But to me, it seems like the focus here is not only just trying to bring Final Cut back up to speed with some of its competitors, but also making sure that the majority of people that are using this software, which are creators at this point, have the tools that they need, as opposed to it being singularly focused on Hollywood. Because years ago, that's really where Final Cut was.
So, going back to the captions thing here, because that was the other marquee feature, that it's basically a one click to transcribe your entire video. That's great. I've wanted something like this for forever. Even back in the days where I was doing corporate work and they wanted, you know, transcriptions and they wanted the ability to have that, you know, the captions inside baked into the video. But the biggest bummer for me, and Kevin, you can tell me if you feel the same way, it's not the captions that you're thinking of, Hartley, when you say for shorts, where it's these bubbly animations and they look nice and you can adjust it. It is strictly closed captions, and you
closed
can't
captions,
edit them.
Yeah.
You can't edit them in a easy native manner. There are ways to work around it, but it's not as easy as just going in and clicking on that specific piece and then fixing each one, but then applying it to the rest as like a style, kind of how you can do in Premiere Pro and other editors out there. You can kind of tailor one and then apply it to the rest. This is just, as far as I know, it's non-editable and it just does not look like what you're thinking. And so that's a little bit of a bummer, but it might be coming in the future. But Kevin, were you just as disappointed as I was when you saw that?
Yeah, when I heard captions, I was thinking there's going to be like a template for captions, like a motions template that you can modify and make look a certain way. But yeah, it's just closed captions, which definitely feels like a slap in the face when you hear the word captions and you think about that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of software now actually has that baked in where you don't need a third party app to actually do it anymore, where a lot of editing softwares can actually do that. So, yeah.
It feels like it was for more of like a profession, not like a, you know, a Hollywood studio, but like somebody who works in corporate that like needed captions and they need to be able to have the ability to edit them and have it baked into the video. But that was it. And they didn't need it to look anything crazy. They just needed the ability to add in and fix the captions and not rely on the platform that they were uploading it to.
Yeah, because I think you can export the SRT file, I believe, which is the captions file, and then you can upload that into YouTube, so YouTube or whatever platform you have, so that will have the proper captions in your video. So it's cool, but that shouldn't be a marquee feature in my opinion, because it just kind of falls short.
I'm not complaining that Apple gave it to us. I'm super happy it exists and I will use it. It's very helpful, but just, you know, now let's make them the ability to be edited and like look better than just regular.
Yeah, maybe a third party plugin can now tap into that though. Maybe one of the crazy maybe a third party plugin can now tap into it because now it has that data in the video. So, you know, because Final Cut is Final Cut's great software, but it really is all about plugins and third party plugins. What makes Final Cut great, in my opinion?
Yeah, but like also captions already existed. This is just the ability to generate it using AI and managing your video, and not so you don't have to type them out. But so
yeah,
like
for sure,
somebody could have already made that plugin, is what I'm saying. And like really, nothing exists like that. At least as far as I've I haven't seen anything on some of the ones that I've used. Nothing that's affordable either. I'm hoping now that Apple has made a push for it. You know, motion VFX looking at you. A lot of us use you guys. That would be great if you guys can come up with some sort of a way to tap into that and make them more fun and for socials. That would be great.
Obviously, Apple's presenting this as a pretty significant update. They've waited to update all of these apps together, Final Cut Camera, Final Cut Pro for iPad. And then we've moved from Final Cut Pro 10 to Final Cut Pro 11 on the Mac. But how significant really are these updates? Does it feel like a next generation for the software, or does it feel more iterative?
Yeah, for me, it doesn't feel like it warrants a new number like Final Cut 11, because the look and feel is pretty much the same, and there's some new AI features. But I feel like if we've waited 10 years, let's say 10 years for a new version of a software, I would expect the look and feel to be different, because I updated my projects, went back into it, and I was like, oh, did it update? Like I had to like literally look around for all the new stuff, right? Like it doesn't feel new. So yeah, it's a new version because they added some of the AI stuff, but I don't think this was like worth the wait, if you will. Like, so yeah. And that's the only thing that I've used so far out of the suite.
I was gonna say, I feel like Kevin's right in that if you're gonna make it a new number, you gotta make it look somewhat different. A little bit of a redesign, a polish, make it more modern, I feel like. Just do something to the way it look and feel so that you can be like, oh, hey, I can tell he's running, Final Cut Pro 11. But I will say the features that they added, and also they added features that they already had, like they kind of slowly released some of these features over the last couple of months. But they, in the press release, noted that these were like also in there. So like they kind of lumped them in to like, oh, well, we not only did these two AI features, but here's some of the other ones that are AI based or relying on the neural engine, like voice isolation. I'm like, voice isolation's been around for a little bit, at least a few months. And I use that all the time. Like, it's super helpful for everything I do. This place has got a lot of echo. I can't dampen it as much as I'd like to. And I have vents that are running for the heat that are exposed. So it's very loud in here. And you won't hear it as much in my videos if I don't, or if I turn on noise cancellation or voice isolation, sorry. And so that's another marquee one that they added into this like list. And then there was, what was the other one that they added in? The smart conform. Like, these are all really useful features. Don't get me wrong. I am not taking them for granted. Like, the magnetic thing is super useful. People have been wanting it forever, and now it's there. The captions thing, obviously, it's great. And then having smart conform, where you can take your projects and basically duplicate the project, check the box, and it'll automatically analyze the whole video, and it'll adjust it so that it can fit a vertical or square format. So basically, it'll turn your video into a short, and it'll, yeah, Kevin, you got to try it. It's great. It's great. Yeah. And it turns your video into a short. And if it like realigns things for you so that it like kind of knows what should be front and center. So it's not just like zoomed in, like it actually moves things around for you to make it look like you did that. Yeah. It's not perfect, but it does a lot of the legwork for you. And then you can go in and tweak it. And there was a couple other things that they added in, like that's been around for the last few months, but they're basically saying, well, that's Final Cut Pro 11. And also you can edit spatial videos, which, I don't know, should I shoot an entire YouTube video on my phone and then export it as a spatial video for the three people that'll watch on Apple Vision Pro?
I'll watch it.
I think three might be too generous. Oh, yeah, you, you, Andrew, maybe you two might watch. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Andrew watch it.
Hartley can't even watch it.
Oh, I was going to say, Dan, I still watch that fork video we shot in Michigan. You're holding a fork in front of me. Your fork was bent. I still every time I go into my Apple Vision Pro, I look at videos and I look at that video.
Oh, man. I mean, it's truly a good feature. But now, so by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about and you're like, wait, what? You can edit, you can actually make an entire project and have it tailored for spatial video. And so if you have an iPhone 16, can you do spatial video on the 15 Pro Max now too? That was an update. It wasn't just a, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not exclusive. Yeah, but as long as you have the compatible phone, so 15 Pro, Pro Max, and then any of the 16s, you can now shoot spatial video, and you can edit them directly in Final Cut Pro, and then export it as a spatial video for your Apple Vision Pro. So making it easier than ever to deliver that content. Maybe YouTube will have its own like spatial video category. I mean, that can open up some things, right?
Would it? So if you upload it to YouTube, will it play in spatial?
I have no idea. Doubt it, because there's no video app.
Probably not. Yeah, you just have to use the browser.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it's not going to look... It's probably going to look the same for everybody.
So you'd have to send it to a person directly or give them an iCloud link or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's kind of... Yeah, you're right. I mean, that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? So you're basically editing these videos for yourself.
I'm gonna
like
if you
like a little like a little home movie that you want to put together. I guess that's pretty much what it is. But like, why would? Well, So I'm trying. I'm like answering the questions as I think about it. Like, why would a normal person want to get Final Cut Pro to make a spatial home movie of their family for their Apple Vision Pro? But if you own an Apple Vision Pro, you're probably nerdy enough to want to spend the $300 and get Final Cut Pro and piece it together. I mean, unless iMovie got this update, which I doubt, but.
Yeah,
eventually.
I didn't hear anything about iMovie at all.
Yeah, I mean, eventually it should trickle on down, right, Hartley? Like that would be something that should, if you're going to make the Apple Vision Pro appeal to the masses,
facing feature that ordinary people eventually will be want to be able to do and stitch different spatial videos together.
Yeah, so that is pretty much it with Final Cut Pro. I have tested some of these features, actually all of them, but
I have an item that I wish was there.
Go ahead.
Text-based editing, like a lot of new software now, even Adobe now, where it would have the full transcript of the video, and you can just basically edit the transcript, and that edits the video at the same time. So you can literally read your video and delete stuff, and then that edits the video. That's how I edit my A-roll now for all my videos, because I don't have to like really listen to it. I can just literally read and chop it up. But then when I play it back, I can like remove awkwardness. But I'm very surprised that was not in Final Cut 11, because that's kind of turning into sort of like the mainstream AI feature that is like very useful for editing. It has sped up my editing process greatly by having it that way.
Yeah, there's an app called Gling that you told me about that I've used quite a bit. And it uses AI to generate the transcript, but you can also upload your script if you're somebody who scripts your videos, just to make sure that it's even more accurate. And so I do that, and then it'll go in there and recognize, okay, he's repeating this. This is probably not the best take. We'll find the last one. And it does a pretty decent job, but then you can also go in there yourself and edit out whatever it might have messed up. And so like that part takes like a couple minutes, but a lot faster than doing that for, you know, 18 minutes of A-roll where you're just going back and forth, back and forth. So, you know, it's not perfect, but it's definitely speeds things up, like Kevin says.
Mm-hmm.
Hartley, you have any questions for us, professional video editors who are...
I think that's it for now. I mean, just kidding. The thing we haven't talked about is logic.
So that's the thing. I have not tested the features yet, but I mean, I don't even know what they are. Honestly, I was traveling yesterday.
I think
and
even,
the Final
Cut. That's a more
stuff.
Minor update. That's an 11.1 update, I believe.
Yeah, because they were already on 11. What were some of the features? I know something about smooth looping.
There also is Final Cut integration with Logic now, where you can search for Logic. You can search for Final Cut plugins in Logic.
Mm.
So there is there's more cross compatibility there.
Yeah.
So that's quite useful.
They don't even have on their website any update for that. It still says what's new in 10.8. So that's good.
It was Logic 2.1 for iPad as well. So I think that's in total 5 apps that Apple's updated here.
Yeah. So I don't use Final Cut Pro on iPad. Kevin, have you had a chance to mess around with Final Cut Camera? That's a good app.
No, I have not. Just because to use it, don't you have to have Final Cut on iPad or Final Cut, or is it a standalone app, or isn't it baked into Final Cut?
No, it's a standalone app. You can use it to.
Oh, it's a standalone. For some reason, I thought it was baked into Final Cut. Like you had to go to Final Cut first.
It does
or
have
something like that. Oh. Okay.
It does have some features where it does rely on the integration.
I can have
stuff.
It without paying for Final Cut.
That's a good question. I don't know, because I am paying for Final Cut.
Yeah.
Technically you're on your phone and there is no Final Cut for phone, so
okay.
How would it know? How yeah, would it
okay,
know
so
that
to
you
answer your question to answer your question, no, I do not use it. I use Kino for like professional video app.
Isn't that a gambling thing, Kino?
Kino. So I don't know if it's spelled the same or
that's
not.
That's what makes a
but Kino
Halide,
for video.
What's that?
Yeah.
What's that, Hartley?
Yeah.
That's from the makers of Halide.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's great. It's absolutely great. I love using that. I love using it as my preferred video app. So I have not used Final Cut. Whatever.
So here's Final Cut Camera. It's basically just a regular app, but it's basically all the pro controls that we wanted in the iPhone app for like, you know, having a pro mode basically. For video. Only for video. But you can adjust all of the things that you'd want to adjust. And then it has, you know, Final Cut features baked in. So you have live multicam where you can use, you know, multiple iPhones to record up to 4 at one time, which is nice. You get metering while you're going. And now you can shoot in log directly and HVGC, I believe. Yeah, so I mean, there's just nerdy stuff that's with these updates. Not things that I'll probably be using a whole ton, I'll be honest with you. It's mostly Final Cut for the Mac, and then that one time I edited a video in front of Hartley just to prove that I could last year at the retreat.
Yeah.
On the iPad, and also because I was bored and I wanted to challenge myself, so I told you guys I was going to edit a full video on there, and I did, and it was
nice,
painfully fun. So let's just put it that way. But it's good. It's getting better. Now, you know, it has motion VFX integrations now, and it has the analyzed color. That was the other feature, by the way, on Mac. The AI enhanced colors and analyzed colors, and it basically applies a color grade to it. Have you tried that? You should definitely try that because it saves a ton of time. If you're color grading it, you just go in, you add a, you go in, you add a color, you click on the little color icon, and then it'll drop down, you know, the different boards and the saturation. And at the bottom, it'll say color enhancements, I believe. And you pick that one, and then there's just a one-click button. It'll analyze it, apply the colors immediately, and then you can go in and fix the things that you didn't like that it did. And so that's really nice. And that was one of the other features that they kind of lumped into this as like an AI thing. So, and that's now on the iPad. The live drawing is now on the iPad. Different inks for that, apparently. I don't know what that means. I've never done it on the iPad with the Apple Pencil.
I've done it before. You can like animate something like, and then.
I tried it once, but like I've never really used it. It's cool, like, you know, if you really wanted to like have that effect where you're hand drawing in like an arrow or something, like that's pretty cool, I guess. But yeah, that's really all of the updates. With Logic, I'll report back. I'll try to use it. I've been trying to use Logic a little bit more, you know, just to mess around with some of the instruments. I used to play back in the day, for those that don't know, so wanted to try to like make some music or something, but I sit there and then I end up not doing it and do something else instead. So one day Hartley's heard the music. Hartley's one of the only ones.
Yeah. It's good.
No, it's, we'll talk about it. That was a long time ago. That's a different Dan. That was three kids less, no wife.
There you go.
Different Dan.
Little Hey There Delilah.
Yeah, Kevin always makes fun of the emo music that he'll constantly send me memes of different, you know, emo based memes out there. So one day you listen to some of that. One day I'll make some music again, and you guys can trash it in the comments. It'll be fun. Anyways, one of the things that we wanted to talk about as well was Apple bought an app. I think quietly last week. I mean, it wasn't quiet, but it was kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. Hartley, have you been hearing, you're more of the rumor mill guy. Have you been hearing that was going to be a possibility, or did it just like kind of take you by surprise like it did for me?
Out of the blue.
Yeah. So Apple bought Pixelmator Pro, whatever, Pixelmator in general, which is a photo editing app. They have a lot of AI features. So I wonder, was it to, and I want to know what you guys think. I'll start with Hartley. Do you think Apple bought Pixelmator because they want to take the AI improvements and just, you know, all the good stuff that that app has to offer with photo editing and add it to the current Photos app? Or are they looking at making like a return of Aperture, like some sort of Photoshop competitor, subscription based, probably, or maybe one time on the Mac, subscription on the iPad and iPhone, you know, app that will be the pro version of photo editing app that we don't have from Apple anymore. Aperture was kind of, I missed that app, by the way. It was so good.
I'm not sure. I don't really know what this acquisition was about. But what I will say is that I can understand why Apple did it. Because both Pixelmator Pro and Photomator are really good apps. What I find intriguing is that Pixelmator is more of a Photoshop competitor than it is a Lightroom competitor. So Apple's never really offered a Photoshop rival. So everyone's talking about Aperture, but this is, if anything, a little bit more like a rival to Lightroom. Well, this is a little bit more like a rival to Photoshop rather than Lightroom, which is what Aperture would have been.
Hold on, we should clarify. Did Apple buy the entire company or just the one app? Because it's Pixelmator Pro and Photomator, which could easily be, you know,
my understanding kind of messed up. Company.
Okay. Good. Oh. Okay. So that makes the most sense in my mind. It's what I thought. But now that we're separating the apps there a little bit,
but that's why
I wasn't sure. It's,
in theory, it would make sense for Photomator to become the successor to Aperture, and for Pixelmator to become a new rival to Photoshop. But I don't know how necessary this is, because with something like Final Cut or with Logic, you can completely understand how those are dramatically different to iMovie and GarageBand. The the requirements of a professional video editor are completely different to someone that just wants to edit a home video. Photo editing is a little bit different because photo editing is far more accessible and involves far fewer tools. So I can understand why Apple may want to roll that into the main Photos app. But it is excellent software. So I could see it going either way.
So you don't think we'll have a Lightroom, Photoshop, you know, separation, or it'll just be, what happened to me? Again, we went on for too long. I'll fix it. But anyways, you don't think that it'll be kind of the two standalone apps, like different apps than the Photos app?
I think probably on balance that's where it will go. And one thing I would point out is that both Logic and Final Cut were not developed by Apple. They were acquisitions. So that is very interesting to me that they are doing this again and purchasing a pro media app. And in those instances, they didn't roll them into existing technologies. They just kept them on offer. They didn't even change their names. I mean, very often Apple does not change the names of this stuff. They did with, say, Workflow. Workflow became Shortcuts, but Siri stayed as Siri. Logic stayed as Logic, Final Cut stayed as Final Cut. So maybe Pixelmator will continue to be around as Pixelmator. The question is whether long-term here they do merge any of the apps, whether they move to a subscription model or anything like that, because part of the appeal of Pixelmator is that it is not a subscription-based app. The same goes with Photomator. You can get a lifetime purchase, and that is why many Mac users, so someone like me, I use both Photomator and Pixelmator because they don't have a subscription. That's far more appealing to me than getting into Adobe Suite, which is just overkill. So will Apple keep that? I would have thought, considering they haven't really committed to subscription models in their other pro apps, and considering that that's so important for these two apps, I don't think they will yet. It's a question of if they make these significantly more feature-rich. Let's say with Photomator, they really enhance library management for handling archives of photos and multiple iterations of non-destructive edits and all this sort of stuff that you wouldn't want to do in the default Photos app, then I could maybe see at some point them saying, okay, this is now Aperture and we are going to charge $4.99 a month for this. But how many photographers are going to be willing to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Especially when most people just shoot photos with their phones, and even professional photographers are using their phone, and then they could just offload it when they need to. I mean, I don't know that that's going to be something that people will use. But I think the Photoshop version of this is the more intriguing thing, because like you said, there's no rival to that. So I think that's where I would be more interested in, rather than like a library management, you know, Lightroom style editing app. Just roll all of those into the Photos app and kind of be done with it. But yeah, standalone Photoshop app would be interesting. Kevin, would you use that, or would you just continue to use? Do you use Photoshop, or do you use one of the other alternatives out there?
Yeah, I use Pixelmator. I have de-Adobe'd myself several years now. I don't use
Good
Adobe for anything. ever since I stopped getting it for free, I stopped using it. So,
dude, it's so expensive.
Yeah, and it keeps going up in price too. So I'm just hoping that they take some of the technologies that both softwares provide and they roll it into the Photos app, where you still have that like light version of editing, where most people just go in and like pull out the saturation or like do some like fun things with their photos, and like leave the Photomator and Pixelmator teams intact and continue to like have that development. Just now they're owned by Apple, where they'll have like more resources to push out more updates or be more innovative. But I would love to just like keep those two apps separate, but then just like use the tech that app has that has some synergy between the regular Photos app, so the Photos app gets a buff as well. That's what I would want, like sort of selfishly, because I still use Photomator and Pixelmator both, and I really don't want those apps to go away or get devoured by a different app or anything like that, personally.
I agree. I think there are definitely some tools that would be really useful in the native Photos app. So for example, you can do an AI sort of general adjustment, which is a little bit like the magic wand tool in Photos, and it is way better than what is offered in the Photos app. So to me, it would make sense if whatever technology that is using is just moved over to that magic wand, and then that magic wand does the same thing in both apps. Whereas something like ML upscaling, that you don't really need in the native Photos app. I mean, maybe some ordinary users would find that useful, but chances are, if you're even thinking in terms of, I want to increase the resolution of this image, that is not something you probably shot on iPhone anyway. So that makes sense to keep in Photomator. So I can see it. I can see it in both directions.
Yeah, will be interesting to see what Apple ultimately ends up doing with it. How long do you think this will take for Apple to start showing signs that they're either implementing it into its products or announces a new app or what? I mean, I'm guessing at least a few years, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, sometimes I think usually the average turnaround is about a year to 18 months. A good example of this in recent times would be Primephonic becoming Apple Music Classical. That Apple set out a time frame of 1 year. It ended up taking about 18 months. Although that was pretty much fully redeveloped, it just used all of Primephonic's underlying metadata technology. So that perhaps was a little bit simpler than this, because as it stands, Photomator and Pixelmator feel like native apps. They feel completely in keeping with Apple's experience, with absolutely no compromises. And even just the library integration is outstanding. They are so closely integrated that I don't know how much work Apple really needs to do from it at this point. They're not going to roll out something different in a year's time, I think. I think it's just a question of what trajectory this takes now. And as successive updates are released, are we going to see these features appearing in the Photos app? And are we going to see new features coming to Photomator that suggest that it is still having some life? Or are those updates going to slow down because Apple's cooking up something else? I would have thought by WWDC next year, and maybe the following year, we'll know a little bit better where we stand with this. But I just hope we're not going to a subscription model. But knowing how important services are to Apple now, I think that the same goes with Final Cut and with Logic. It is a matter of time before eventually, in some way, we get there with all of the Pro apps, and we get some kind of like Apple One Pro, where you get all of the Pro apps together as part of a subscription. It surprises me that they have not gone for that with Final Cut, though. Because if I was Apple, if I was
give them any ideas, Harley.
but I think it's a good sign they haven't done it. Because if I was Tim Cook and I was thinking, I want to move this over to be a subscription-based app, I would think, well, we're on the brink of this AI revolution for creators. And we're about to roll out a bunch of AI tools over the next couple of years in Final Cut and in Logic. So we will keep those behind the wall of some sort of subscription model. And this is the time to break it out. So Final Cut 11 will be the subscription-based model. And the fact they've not done that should be a really good sign that they're not going to do that anytime soon. Because I think it would have been reasonable, although we would have been annoyed if they would have done it, if they had come out and unveiled a load of new AI features and they'd said, finally, you know, your one-off purchase has been okay for 15 years, but it is finally time to let that go. And you can continue using Final Cut Pro 10, but if you want Final Cut Pro 11, you will have to start paying a small monthly subscription. I think people would have been okay with it. So fair play to Apple for not going for that just yet.
Do you want to know my theory on why I don't think they've done it yet and why I don't think they can until... here's what it is. I don't think they can do that until DaVinci Resolve does that. DaVinci Resolve is still a $290. It's actually free. You can download it. But then if you want Resolve Studio with a lot of the other features that you probably might want, maybe most people can get away with, you know, the free download if they were to switch from, say, Final Cut. They wanted something a little bit beefier than iMovie, and Final Cut was that thing. And now if it goes through a subscription, they're like, I don't need to be paying that much. I'll just download free Resolve. But Studio is $295. So that's not a subscription right now. So if they don't change that, I don't think there's anything stopping people who... Final Cut Pro is is still behind a lot of these editors, especially DaVinci Resolve. Lots of people love it, and it works really well. That was like the biggest thing, is that how well it's optimized because it's Apple software, how well it works with the Mac, and how quick everything is. Well, DaVinci caught up with that, and so it's almost on par, especially with these Apple Silicon Macs. It's really fast, and there's so much more that you can do in DaVinci Resolve, and it's, what, technically $5 cheaper? So you can pay for that, and it's a one-time thing, and you own it. And then you could not have to worry about Final Cut if it becomes a subscription. So I think Apple can't do that because it knows it's behind in features, and there's another outcome out there. There's another piece of software out there that's better than it, and it is still not a subscription. So I feel like it won't do that yet. Now, with the iPad apps and stuff, that's a different story. They've already done it, and I can see that being bundled in. Like, maybe there's a Pixelmator, you know, version of whatever they come out with, and they bundle that with Logic and Final Cut, and you got like this creative suite. What do they used to call it? Well, it's not iWork. Didn't they have like a thing for it, all the creative apps? Or am I making things up?
What it was called, though.
Mm. Anyways, that's what I feel like they could do. But if you start doing that with the Mac, because what's Pro Tools? Pro Tools is Logic's, you know, direct competitor. Is that, I haven't used Pro Tools in forever. Is that a, what's the pricing for that? Is that a subscription? It is an annual subscription, but it's not bad. It's $99. You know, that sucks, but, well, wait, hold on. No, damn, these are expensive. Annual subscription of $3.99 for Pro Tools Ultimate. I don't even know. Logic is a very good alternative to Pro Tools, but I know a lot of professionals still use Pro Tools. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just can't see them doing that right now until some of the direct competitors for Final Cut end up doing that. And, you know, I know Adobe's there, but DaVinci's not. So that's my thought. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right, well, good. Then I feel better about myself. Thanks, Hartley.
You're welcome.
Kevin, anything else you'd like to add about all this stuff before we let you go?
No, that's it. I guess one of the things that draws a lot of people to Final Cut is just like, oh, it's a one-time payment thing. Like, let me just do it instead of like it being a subscription. I think that kind of ruins the allure of Final Cut. But at the same time, people who have paid $300 15 years ago or 10 years ago, and you're still getting, it kind of feels like that gravy train eventually will leave the station, if you will, you know?
That ROI for me with Final Cut, downloading it, you know, so many years ago, and then getting multiple jobs because of it, because of me knowing that skill. I've gotten my money's worth. So I guess at the end of the day, I can't complain too much, but
I just hope they do something for people who have actually purchased it, where like you could purchase it again and not a subscription, like a one-time payment or whatever. I have a feeling it's going to be a yearly thing because they're always updating and always adding things, and you know. But it's just hard to kind of let that idea go.
That's the other reason why they can't, unless they start showing us that they're doing consistent updates. I mean, wasn't like before that, a few versions ago, they went like a whole year before they even updated the app. So until you're showcasing that you are actually serious about the app and you're going to be making updates, you can't charge me monthly for that. That's not how that's going to work. Kevin, real quick, if Final Cut Pro, DaVinci Resolve, and Adobe were all either one-time purchase or a subscription, they're all on the same playing field in terms of pricing, would you still use Final Cut? And if the answer is no, which one would you use instead?
So I will say yes, but I've never used DaVinci. I've never looked at DaVinci.
That's really good.
But I would say
really
yes good. To Final Cut still. Just for the type of content I create and edit, it's quick. I'm not making movies. I'm not dealing with multiple cameras and audio and mic that can get crazy with the timeline in Final Cut. It definitely gets messy fast. For what I do, Final Cut is still the best software for me.
Can I interest you in text-based editing? That exists.
I chop my A-roll up in a different app completely, and then I export the XML file into Final Cut.
But built into one app. What about cloud libraries? Because that, for me, maybe not for you if you don't have multiple machines anymore, but for me, going home from the studio, having the ability to log in. I don't have to carry drives with me.
That's nice.
Just go into my library. There's a bunch of other features in there I think you would be interested in. If it was on the same, you'd be willing to like maybe I'll take a look at it. You know, it's the same price.
Maybe that's possible, but I'm chilling where I'm at.
Me too. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I still open up the Final Cut Pro app and do my job.
Yeah.
Hartley, can I interest you in getting back into video editing? Would you like to watch my face every day, and would you like to edit my videos for me?
Well, I've got to be honest with you, Dan.
You could say...
I think the answer to that question is no.
Yeah, I figured. You're not... You're doing way too much writing instead, where the money's at, right?
We'll say that.
Yeah, all right. All right, well, we'll catch everybody in the next episode. Let us know what you think about everything that we just talked about. Probably a little niche for most people, but, you know, people like the niche episode. So, Kevin, thank you so much. Go follow Kevin. Tech Ninja Speaks pretty much on every platform, correct? We'll have it up in the beginning of the episode so you can go follow him. And then, you know, go check out his YouTube channel. Great content as usual. If you're a fan of golf, go check out that PXG one. That was my favorite. And yeah. We'll catch everybody in the next episode.